May the inspired word of God touch our hearts as we hear this word. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" A few years ago, my wife and I attended a funeral service for some colleagues of ours whose granddaughter had died near her birth. And her grandparents and all the family gathered together. And as maybe some of you know firsthand, when there's the death of a child, there's so extreme grief. And so we went through the worship service, and at one point during the worship service, a family member, a young lady, got up to sing. She had a beautiful voice. It was like singing in the opera. In the midst of heavy grief, she sang the song, "God will make a way where there seems to be no way." After she concluded, everyone just sat silent. Everyone wanted to cheer and clap, but of course that was not appropriate, but it touched everyone's heart. Everyone really wanted to say, "Amen." That's what we needed. Hope in the midst of deep despair and depression. God will make a way where there seems to be no other way. I thought about that young lady being willing to get up and sing, even though she was a professional singer, to be able to get up with her own grief in her heart and be able to sing that song. I said, "Wow, that's powerful." She is really a person of hope. She exudes that faith that says it's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Well, in our text this morning, or this evening, I should say, that's the kind of audacity Jesus projects when he teaches his disciples to pray. The disciples, some of them actually had been disciples of John the Baptist, and John had taught them to pray. And it says that Jesus was in a place, this is Luke 11, and he was praying. And his disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And you heard the text. What did he teach them? The Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Now, Jesus prayed differently than the other rabbis, because it was in that day not something you should ever do as a rabbi to try to pray to an intimate God. It was always Lord or King. It was something that projected a lofty God. But Jesus starts with Father, Abba, Daddy. You see, Jesus was no stranger to prayer. He was not only someone who taught about prayer, he was a person who practiced prayer. He was praying at that time. But there's other evidence in the Gospels of Jesus going up on the mountain to pray. Or, of course, we know that at Gethsemane, when he was just in his test and trial before the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And take this cup from me, but my will, not my will, but thy will be done. So Jesus treated prayer as something personal between himself and God the Father, Abba. And that's powerful. That's what, and in the next part of the text says, is shameless audacity. Jesus had the audacity to pray, Father. If you read John chapter 17, the whole chapter is about Jesus praying. First he prays, Father, may we be one as you and I are one. And then he goes on to pray for the 12 disciples. May they be one as you are and I are one. And then he goes on to pray for the future disciples, you and I. Father, may they be one as you and I are one. Prayer is intimate with Jesus. But then he goes on to talk about the fact that we can approach God in a certain way. Now, you remember the story of the persistent widow who kept coming back to that unrighteous judge who wouldn't justify? And she kept going back and going back. And a widow in that day had no rights, and yet she came back. And it was one of those stories that was kind of the opposite, meant the opposite of what it said. God is the opposite of the unrighteous judge. God wants to give God's children what they need. So Jesus starts out with our Father, and that is bold in itself, but goes on to say, listen to the story, that a man has a guest come late at night, doesn't have food, so goes over to the neighbor's house and knocks on the door at midnight and says, could you give me some bread so I can practice radical hospitality and give my friend who has arrived something to eat? First, the answer from the locked doors is, my children and I are in bed, the doors are locked, I can't do it. But then Jesus interprets the story by saying, it's not because of friendship that the man will get up and give the bread to the one who has knocked. It's because of shameless audacity that he would be willing to, for his friend's sake, come over and take that risk. So tonight, we want to talk about, or we want to think about, how important it is to approach God. And we can think of the publican and the Pharisee that go and pray, and the publican stays far off and says, I don't deserve to get near you, Lord. And Jesus says, that's the one who went away forgiven, not the Pharisee who was full of himself. But shameless audacity in prayer doesn't mean that we're full of ourselves. It doesn't mean that we're taking God for granted. It simply means we know the God that we're praying with. And two, we know God hears us. We know God is with us. And we know, as Paul says in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's this intimacy that we have as children to pray to our Father. We can be bold. We can share our hearts. And God says, Jesus says, seek and you shall find. Ask and it will be given to you. Knock, on God's door, and the door will be opened. God knows what we need. It's not that we get what we want, even though sometimes that's the way we pray. God knows our need and gives us what we need. And so tonight, as we approach the table and we take the bread and the cup, remember the power of prayer. Remember how God has blessed us, even in the midst of difficulties. God will make a way where there seems to be no other way. Amen.